you don't want to go to the store.
That's true. That's true.
And then we'll be like, I'll treat my house like it's the store.
Exactly.
Oh, we're in danger.
We're in danger, Mom.
It's dangerous to go to the store.
Oh, my goodness. So, Brandy, how was your week?
It's a blur. Well, I know I spent the last couple of days working on my spring collection.
That's so exciting. I'm really excited for that. Are you making a necklace with a leaf?
Well, I made a pendant. I made a couple of pendants. I ordered some 14-karat gold-filled wire, but that still has not arrived. So I'm like...
Your face.
I can't, like, do everything that I'm trying to do because I can't work on the gold-filled items. But whatever. But yeah, so, you know, things are... It's coming together, but since I am but one person and making jewelry products is fucking time-consuming, I've been watching shows and stuff and listening to podcasts while I work. So that's what I've been doing. I believe that's how my week went. How did your week go?
Last week was a good week. Homeschooling, we're trying to get our schedule down better.
Yeah.
We're getting into the swing of the homeschooling business.
There's only 5 weeks left of school, you know that, right?
I wish it was over tomorrow.
I mean, like, there's...
I don't care. I want it over.
I wish it was over tomorrow.
I see. Why are we doing this to our children? Like, it's... That 1 year that they didn't complete a semester, a quarter, big deal. Like, let them free. Give us free. I'm sick of this. I am so sick of this. Like... It's bad enough that we're home, but we got to make our kids do homework.
You said that 1 year that they didn't.
That they missed a quarter. Big fucking deal. Move them forward. Like, stop it. Everybody advances. Who cares?
Yeah.
Stop it right now.
That's just
We've got other things to worry about.
Seniors, though, and the eighth graders, too, because they don't get to have their ceremony either.
Nothing. They don't get to party. Nothing.
Okay, they don't get to go on their eighth grade trip. We went to, what?
Magic Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Seniors don't get a grad night. That's what sucks.
Bummer. Oh, well, cry me a fucking river. Go to Disneyland another night with some friends. Like, it sucks for people who miss their senior year. It super sucks. I mean, you could...
The rite of passage. That's yeah. Graduation is, you know...
It sucks. It really sucks.
Parents look forward to for their kids.
Well, people are still having parties. Like, people are still, like, having little I saw people having gatherings. Birthday parties and shit. I was like, don't put this on social. You're not supposed to be having a party. Like, what are you doing?
Assholes.
Asshole. Anyway.
Remember that one party you went to that, like, killed your parents because you fucking did what you weren't supposed to do and your parents got sick?
Yeah, that's that year. But, I mean, other than that, the homeschooling's going good. Chicken and gardening, farm life as well. I don't know. Let me think. Oh, so yesterday it got really hot and my chickens were looking at me with their mouths like wide open.
It was hot yesterday.
I was like, what the fuck is wrong with these chickens? Are they hot? They were just like staring at me like with their eyes like and their mouth like agape.
Were their eyes bummed out?
But they were like, they're always like cock their head to the side and look at me with one eye and their mouths were open. And I was like, are they panting? You know?
That must have been what they were doing.
I asked my Facebook chicken group, and they were like, you know, make sure they have shade, ice water, blah, blah, blah. So then I looked it up.
Look, ice water is just going to fucking get hot outside.
Well, I put it inside their coop. I put ice in their water.
Wasn't it hot inside the coop?
It was okay. It was better in the coop than out in the sun.
Oh, okay.
And so they said to, like, make them a little mud bath and, you know, this, that, and the other. So... They survived, but it was hot, so...
Did you dig them a hole, like, for...
They have a little space where they've been, like, eating dirt and doing their dust bath, so I just poured some water there, so it would get a little muddy. And last night, after the kids were done playing in the pool, I poured the water over by the chicken coop, so it'll kind of get a little muddy, and when it gets hot, it'll kind of put off a little cool climate over there, so I'm trying to help them out as much as I can.
Chickens are like, please, help us.
It's so hot. It's so hot. So, yeah, I might have to, like, they say freeze, like, ice buckets for them so they could, like, perch on top of, like, not an ice bucket, but, yeah, like, an ice bucket. Like, you could freeze, like, a gallon of milk and just bury it, and they can go stand on it, and it's like a cool spot.
You mean a gallon of water?
Yeah. Did I say milk?
Yeah. Like, why would you do that?
Use the milk carton. But it's cool, man. It's all good. Like, we're doing really good this week, I guess. So I'm just trying to hang on to a little patience and be productive. I got to be an Instagram model for Gio Grace yesterday. It was so exciting.
Gio and Grace.
I'm sorry, Gio and Grace.
Gio Grace is, what's his face? Adam Levine's daughter.
Okay, well,
that's what they named her.
I got to do that. It was fun. It was like, ooh. All dressed up and nowhere to go. Kendall comes downstairs. She's like, where are you going? I was like, I'm not going anywhere. She's like, yes, you are. And I was like, no, I'm not.
You look like you're going somewhere.
Why do you look all fancy? And I was like, because I am. I took some pictures of my earrings for Auntie. Oh. I was like, that's all.
Hair.
Hey, Hayda. Hey, Hayda.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, so I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is Book
of Lies.
Of Lies.
Bulb.
The podcast.
It's Bulb.
It's Bulb.
I will not stop saying that, by the way.
Don't stop saying it. So, yeah. Don't stop. Don't give up.
Why do they keep saying that?
Because our name is Bulb. That's why. Book of Lies podcast. It's an acronym. Hello, everybody's got one. And welcome to the listeners. So, new listeners, hello. How are you? Thank you for choosing us. And to our existing listeners, thank you guys so much for subscribing and coming on back and your support. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, fun. That's wonderful.
It's fun. It's wonderful. And, guys, this is the last opportunity you have to win this shirt. Mm-hmm. So, thank you for the retweets and the likes, but what you're going to do is, to get an entry into this contest, you need to share this episode that you're listening to.
Share
it.
Because Sharon is Karen.
Sharing is Karen.
No, Sharon is Karen.
Oh, I named the chickens this past week.
I thought you... What? Again?
No.
They got new names?
I never announced it to the podcast. I named them last week. They all got real names. So we have Karen A, Karen B, Karen C,
oh my God,
Heather, Stella,
Heather,
and Mumble. Those are the chickens.
Chicken 1, chicken 2, chicken 3, chicken 4, chicken 5, and chicken 6. Because chicken 7 is dead.
The Karens, ABC, Heather, because she tries to come for me, and only a Heather would do that.
Heather.
Stella, because she's a baddie and likes to hang out with Mumble.
They're going to have chicken babies.
I think they would have chicken babies together, but we have another little coop out there, so if they wanted to hang out, I guess they can have their own space.
Oh, yeah, the one. Well, are you going to use that?
It's still out there. I could use it if I needed it.
Like, if you got more chickens, like, you'd have to separate them, right?
I kind of want more chickens.
Okay, first let these chickens make some damn eggs.
I know, like, first, okay, chickens. Right. First, let's make sure we gonna get these eggs.
Okay.
Okay, I can live with that. Anyway, back to reality. So, share this episode to win this shirt, guys. We're gonna send it out. We're gonna announce the winner on... Wednesday? When's the last day of April? When's May 1st?
I don't know.
Where's your calendar? You have a phone in your damn hand.
Oh, yeah. I just opened the calculator.
You dumbass. So we're going to announce Friday is May 1st.
Yeah.
So we're taking entries all the way into the last minute of April. And then we will announce the winner of the t-shirt on May 1st. It's on Friday.
Yeah.
I'll announce it on Twitter for Follow Friday.
Cool beans.
And whoever our winner is, we'll share you on Twitter too. Anyway, so yes. Do that, please. We would love to give this shirt away to somebody. And I want to give a big shout out to our friend Anthony in Montreal because he's the best. And we love you, Anthony. Thank you for your support. And Brandy, what are we talking about today?
Oh, my God. Okay, so today we're talking about a mother-son grifter duo.
Ooh.
Sante and Kenny Kimes.
Sante and Kenny
Kimes.
Kimes?
Kimes with an M. As in Mary, or mega or whatever the fuck the military alphabet is on that shit.
Montana.
I think it's Mario, Michigan. I don't know. I don't really give a shit. So it's Sante Kimes and her son Kenny Kimes. It's mostly her, but you know, she had a child and like basically made him dependent on her and like cloned herself into him pretty much.
Oh my god.
Disturbing the way she raised her child. But
I've never heard of this, so this is a new story for me, so I'm very excited.
Okay, so Sante Kimes was born Sandra Louise Singers in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. She's the third child of Mary Van Horn, who was a partial Dutch descendant, and Mahendra Prama Singh, who was an East Indian man who, like, performed in the fucking circus. He did, like, magic acts. He was a magician.
The fuck?
He also was, like, a medicine man for a minute. Yeah, he was, like, a circus performer. And they fell in love and got married and had four kids.
And Sante, Sante, Sante.
And, Sante, Sandra, which how Sandra, she was born.
But she's Indian, right?
Her father's Indian, yes.
And mom's Dutch.
Mom is white. Basically, she's a white American. Like, let's be serious. Her father, what's her name? Mary. Her father was a Presbyterian minister. So, I mean, they were Dutch descendants, but they weren't, I don't think, she was born in the United States.
Okay.
She had her younger sister, her name is Aretha Ashy Chick. Or maybe it's Ashe Chick.
Let me see. Ashy Chick.
Yeah, A-S-H-E-Y-C-H-I-K.
Ashy Chick.
So, maybe it's Ashe Chick or Ashe Chic. I don't know.
If you know, let us know.
But it was Aretha.
Ashy Chick.
Ashy Chick. Aretha. Her sister Rita says that she was fucking evil.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. As a kid. So they had two older siblings, an older brother and an older sister. Their father died when Sante was, I think, like seven or eight years old.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So the older siblings basically bounced. Like, they ran away from home. They left. The brother apparently was a little bit of a pervert and, like, would be, like, unnaturally close to Sante. Like, she would sit on his lap and his hands would be places they shouldn't have been, stuff Ooh. Like that. And when, after the father died and when he was old enough, he basically punched his mom in the nose and, like, took her fucking purse and bounced.
What year is this? I'm sorry.
She was born in 19... I want to say she was born in 19... She's old. She was old. Sorry.
Because I'm like, who's punching their mothers in noses? Whose dads are in circuses? Like, yeah, what's going
this
on?
Yeah, like during the Dust Bowl times. Like, she was old.
And it's in Oklahoma.
They were in Oklahoma. She was born in 1934. I'm like, 1919.
1919. She's old.
She was born in 1934, so it's probably about 1943-ish, 1940-ish when this happens. Yeah, the mom, basically, she had no control over him, mm-hmm. you know. So once, when the father died, basically, there was no fucking,
no disciplinarian.
No authority.
Nobody he was afraid of.
Right, mm-hmm. And so he left, and then, like, after he left, the older sister was, when she got old enough, she got married and left. So the mom had to work. She was a housekeeper. And she had to work, so she would leave Sante and Aretha alone, you know, to basically Sante had to take care of Aretha. Mm-hmm. Aretha said that Sante would burn her fucking fingers. She would abuse, they lived on a farm. She would abuse the farm animals.
What?
She would stick them with hat pins, the goats. She would stick the goats with hat pins in their hindquarters, as she put it. And then she would put fucking clothespins, like, on their testicles and, like, on their ears and shit. So she was crazy. She was fucking abusing animals.
She's into people suffering.
Pretty much. She would burn her sister's fingers. Like, she would light a match and make her hold the match till basically it burnt out on her fucking fingers. And just, if she didn't do it right, she'd make her do it again. So she was an asshole. And she was also a rage monster. But they, I guess, at the time, the in Oklahoma, the authorities figured out that she, you know, they were left alone way too much, so they CPS took the kids away. Yeah, they took the kids away and put them in a girls' group home.
CPS.
But Mary wasn't having that, so she went, picked up the kids, and bounced to California.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get my kids back.
Yeah, she took them, she picked them up, and they drove out to California where Sante acted a fucking fool. She was doing shit she wasn't supposed to do, you know, hanging out. She told one of her friends, one of her acquaintances, friends, whatever, that her mom was a prostitute in L.A., and that her mom, when Sante was old enough, that her mother tried to basically get her to become a prostitute. We don't know if that's true or not, but the sister said she didn't mention that. However, there was another couple called the Chamberses, and they took a liking to Sante, and they were like, you know, she's a good girl, she just needs guidance. So they asked Mary if they could adopt her, and she was like, sure, go ahead, take her, because she was a little asshole. So they took her, and apparently, like, she was, like, very, very intelligent. She was very intelligent, and she, you know, was very good in school, but she was evil. So they took her to Carson City, Nevada, where she, you know, she went to school. She had a bunch of friends, but again, she was an asshole. So, like, her and her best friend, like, she would, like, beat up her best friend. She was, like,
she's a dick.
She was, like, who's that character? Like, we're friends, but I'm going to kick your ass every day.
Like a bully in...
Yeah, did you... Well, you saw Bully, right? You know the story of Bully. Mm-mm. The kids that killed that other kid in Florida?
No, I didn't see... I don't think I...
Brad Renfro was in the movie? Anyway, she was a bitch.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. And after high school, her and her best friend came back and moved back to California, and she got involved with an old high school boyfriend. She's only married him for like three to 9 months. She tricked him into marrying her, though, by telling him that she was pregnant, which she was not. He joined the military, and so he was going to leave. She wanted to get married, so she was like, I'm pregnant. So he married her. But he didn't make a lot of money, and she was, you know, basically being a housewife. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't like that very much, and so she was like, I want a divorce. But while she was still in high school, at the age of 16, she got arrested for shoplifting. She shoplifted a lipstick from a store. She had the money to pay for the lipstick, but she didn't care. She just wanted to, basically seeking the thrill. So she just shoplifted a lipstick and got arrested.
Well, that's usually the case. They have the money, but they don't want to spend it.
Right. Because, like, she was poor. Like, for when they were in Oklahoma, she was broke, poor. They, like, suffered, you know, that her mom had to work. They couldn't afford, you know, a nanny or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were poor. They moved here. The Chamberses, you know, they're not rich, but they, you know, they can afford nice things. So she grows up with nice things, but she still has a behavioral problem. So she shoplifts. She gets arrested for shoplifting. Whatever. She continues to shoplift, but after high school, when she came here, she got married to this guy and didn't like being married to him because he didn't have a lot of money. So she divorced him and sought out one of her former high school boyfriend. And that by now she's in her 20s. I think she's 23 at this time.
And she never had a baby by this guy?
By the first guy, no. She wasn't pregnant. She lied. Mm-hmm.
So she, but I would have thought she may have tried to, maybe? Mm-mm.
She marries Kent Walker. I'm sorry, that's her son's name is Kent Walker. When she marries Ed Walker, her second husband, the one that she reaches out to after she divorces her first husband.
When did she change her name to Sante? When did she start going by that? Because she's Sandra, right?
So according to, if you hear her tell it, she was called Sante because that was the name that her mom was using when she called, like, when she was trying to make her be a prostitute. She changed it to, like, you know, that it's an exotic name, Sante. Oh. Or maybe they already called her Sante. We don't really know because they don't say anything. But when she moved to Carson City with the Chambers, she changed her name. She started going by Sandy. Sandy. So when she got married the first time, she was Sandy. When she got married the second time to Ed, she was going by Sandy. So, Ed married Sandy. She became Sandy Walker.
Okay.
But she changed her name a lot, too. So, okay,
she's hiding something. She's trying to be sneaky. Like, what?
Yeah. But she's young. She's, you know, in her
20s. Okay.
She, 6 months after she divorces her first husband, she marries Ed Walker. He was a general contractor in Sacramento. He built houses, so he made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't rich, but he wasn't fucking, like, broke, and he, you know, he could also afford nice
things. He could support her.
He could support her, right. So, she had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
They, had a little baby named Kent, and, you know, he describes her as a really good mom. Like, if she was nothing else, she was a good mom, apparently. They, you know, always had really nice birthday parties, nice presents, and he's like, even though they were probably stolen.
What?
But, because she was a thief. She liked to fucking steal shit. In December 1960, one of the houses that Ed built caught fire. Ed didn't think much about it, and he chalked it up to, you know, faulty wiring. But Sandy started fucking acting weird, and she changed her name back to Sante, and she fucking got arrested for shoplifting. So she started shoplifting again. She was always shoplifting.
She's a,
but she got arrested.
She's a klepto. Like, what's the deal? Like, is it the thrill? Is it, like, what is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, she likes nice things. And she, you know, like, I guess if she doesn't have to pay for it, why would she?
That's dumb.
So, bitch started fucking after she got arrested for shoplifting, you know. They continue to be married. For 5 years, the houses that he's building are catching fucking fire. She's collecting the insurance money.
What?
She set the fires.
I know she set the fires, but how is she collecting insurance money?
She is, because they're houses that he's built, but they're, I guess nobody's living in these houses yet. So he's building them, and there's insurance, you know, on the houses. It's not homeowner's insurance, like fucking, I don't know, construction insurance. I don't know what it's called.
It's probably some type of property
insurance. So, yeah, he's building these houses. They're fucking catching fire. And finally, he's like, oh, maybe it is her. I need to leave her. To hear one side, somebody, because I watched a couple of programs. One guy says that he divorced her. The other one says that she divorced him. So, who knows?
Does it even matter?
Well, because the way they tell it is that she left him because...
Who is they?
There was an A&E special... And there's, I didn't write down which ones they were. I think it was the A&E one. Okay. Anyway, but whoever said it, because it was a guy who said it, that he was like, oh, well, she's doing bad stuff. I need to divorce her. The other sources say she divorced him because he didn't make enough money and she wanted money.
Mm-hmm. For the nice things.
For just, she wanted to be rich. So she fucking divorces him and she sets her fucking sights on a millionaire. Because he's not one. Her son, Kent, says that she would, like, go to the store and come out of the store with, like, things as small as a lipstick to the fucking a roast. Like, she would go in with a big-ass purse and, like, come out with a roast in her purse. Or, you know, like, a fucking... He said oysters. I was like, who shoplifts oysters?
Canned,
like,
oysters, I'm sure.
Blah. Whatever. That's gross.
She's trying to get an aphrodisiac.
So, after they divorce... She gets a fucking boob job. She moves to Palm Springs and starts wearing big old black wigs.
You know she's the same age as grandma, right?
She is dead.
I'm just saying, like, she would be the same age as grandma. Because grandma was born in 32.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining grandma in my head.
Oh, no, this lady. Apparently people say she resembled Elizabeth Taylor. And she... tried to impersonate her a couple of times. She, you know, was a fucking con artist. I think the police in New Jersey said that she was a master of disguises. So, okay. So anyway, Kent says also that, like, from about the age of 7 years old, that she lectured him all the time about marrying for money. She said, it does not matter, you know, you don't marry for personality, you don't marry for looks, you don't marry for love, you marry for money.
Mm-mm.
So she like beat into him that money is all that matters when you're choosing a mate, apparently. So she moved to Palm Springs, she got a boob job, started wearing these fucking black wigs. And even though her fucking eyes were brown, people thought she was Elizabeth Taylor at times. And she changed her name to Shantae.
Shantae. Mm-hmm. Hey.
So now she's Shantae instead of Sante.
Maybe that's why RuPaul is like, Sashay, Shantae, Sashay.
Well, she read about her next husband. His name is Kenneth Kimes. She read about him in Millionaire Magazine. He was 17 years older than her, and he had already had 2 adult children. And he was an alcoholic, but he had $10 million.
Why not?
So she chased that fucker for a year.
See, remember we were just talking about that stalker? Mm-hmm. This is what she did.
Well, she chased him for a year, and she nabbed him. But he didn't marry her. For 4 years they were together, and he didn't marry her. And he had told friends, you know, she's the most beautiful woman in the world, blah, 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 but I'll never marry her because if I marry her, she'll try to take all my money.
Yeah.
So what did she do? Knocked herself up. She got pregnant. It's unclear whether he actually married her or not because there's people that are like, they were never married, but she changed her last name to Kimes. So
she pretended like she married him.
I don't know.
And used his name because... As long as you guys have the same name, like most like banking organizations and things back in the day really don't care. But now you have to bring all the documentation to have access. But usually if you just have the same name, mm-hmm. they ain't tripping.
Yeah. In 1975, that's when she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
With Kenny. Kenny! So she married. She not married.
So she has a Kent and now she has a Kenny.
She has a Kent and a Kenny. And Kenny is a Kenneth Kimes Jr.
Yes.
So Ken and Ken. So yeah, March 24th, 1975 was when Kenny was born. That year they moved to Hawaii, but apparently in Hawaii, it's like hard to find domestic labor, like, you know, maids, butlers, housekeepers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she manages to have a bunch of fucking maids somehow, right? One of her friends is like, how are you able to find these maids? Like, it's hard to find help in Hawaii. How are you doing this? And she's like, when I know you better, I'll tell you where I get them. They're my little slaves, and I love them.
What?
She has been going to Mexico and promising these women that she would pay them a lot of money, promising that they would be well taken care of, and bringing them to Hawaii. They're going through Los Angeles, you know, through LAX, and going to Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
She's fucking human trafficking. They're her fucking slaves. She doesn't pay them. They're not allowed to fucking leave the house without her. They're her fucking slaves. I guess they're allowed to eat because they're alive.
Well, but she probably got them there. She took promises them. To this and that, and then they probably can't go anywhere, and they're stuck.
They are not allowed to leave. She threatens them with going to the authorities and telling them that they're here illegally if they try to leave, if they try to go anywhere.
They killed her.
She also fucking abuses them. She fucking burns them with irons. She beats them with hangers. She fucking is an awful person.
Was an awful person. She's dead now. The shit that she was doing to her sister, she's doing to them. Because I'm wondering where that's, like, that shit just doesn't stop from abusing animals. It's stealing money, shoplifting, and being manipulative.
Mm-mm. No, but now she has, basically she has slaves because they can't go nowhere. They're afraid of being deported or being arrested because they're now here illegally because she didn't make arrangements to get them, you know, fucking work visas or anything. She is human fucking trafficking.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, her friends, you know, she's like, everybody who was like involved in her life was like, oh my God, she's such a wonderful person. She's nice. She has the biggest heart. They love the shit out of her. But she's like a fucking demon inside.
Oh my God. So... That's horrible. That's horrible. She's a demon inside.
She is. She's awful.
In a world of utter randomness, one podcast stood out from the bunch. And it was The Amazing World of Talking Shiz. Sorry, I had to clear my throat there. It's just mainly randomness.
And focus is definitely not being focused on at all.
No. Our podcast is definitely no theme at all. It's literally random and talk about literally everything and throwing in random jokes at any given time.
We're on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. So go ahead, tune in. New episodes weekly.
And we're international.
International.
Very, yes. Very well. So tune in. Follow us on Twitter. See you there.
But at some point, there were complaints. So for years, people had been complaining about how she was treating her maids. But nobody ever did anything. The police never, knocked on her fucking door. Nobody ever came and was like, hey, we heard you're beating up on your fucking maids.
Hey!
So, she also, Kenny is also being homeschooled. So he has no interaction with children. They said, he was an outgoing kid, but, he didn't go to school, so he never got to play with other little kids. Well, one of the maids finally manages to fucking escape. And she goes to the FBI. And they arrest her and Kenneth for involuntary servitude.
That's called slavery.
Yeah, but the charge is involuntary servitude. I was like, why don't they just call it what it fucking is? It's slavery. Human fucking trafficking. At the time, I guess they didn't call it that, but that's what that shit is. Taking somebody from their fucking country. Mm-hmm. And beating them with hangers and burning them with irons. Fucking bitch. Okay, so. Kenneth, the husband, wasn't involved in the abuse, but he knew about it and he didn't do anything to stop it.
Because he's like, oh, they're taking care of my shit and, doing this, doing that.
Plus, apparently, again, she was like a domineering. She was domineering, but she was like warm about it. So she wasn't like yelling and like beating, like her husband or anything. She wasn't the type to, I guess, I don't want to say the type to, because apparently she did that shit to her mom. She fucking like raged. But with her husband, she was more forceful, but in a nice way.
Mm-hmm. It was more like foreplay.
It was, I don't know what. But they were arrested, both of them. And they were charged with involuntary servitude. Kenneth took a plea deal. And he got probation and had to go to an alcohol treatment program.
Oh, because he's an alcoholic, right?
Mm-hmm. He told the FBI that he knew about the abuse but didn't do anything to stop it. Sante was encouraged to plead guilty. And she was sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Wow, okay.
So she went to prison. While she was in prison, Kenny and Kenneth were, they were growing closer together. Kenny, his father fucking stopped all that tutoring bullshit and got him enrolled in school.
So, is Sante the only one that goes to jail?
Mm-hmm.
No, her name is Shantae now, right?
Yeah, she's Shantae. She, they have an interview of her, being questioned about this abuse or whatever. She's like, I never yelled at them. I never did any of those things. And like, but apparently they had been paying lawyers for however long to try to get, to fight charges or fight the accusations.
Yeah.
Before they were even arrested, before they were in, like,
I bet.
They had been paying lawyers, spending a lot of money on lawyers. And they also moved a lot. They moved from house to house to house to house to house to house.
That doesn't make sense because it's very expensive to move.
It is expensive to move. But they moved to Hawaii, then they moved back to fucking, they moved.
Are these multiple homes that they have? Like, do they
own? He's got $10 million. Yeah, he owns just a lot of property.
Just because he has $10 million don't mean shit.
Liquidity. He has a lot of money. And so they own a bunch of properties because they own property in the Bahamas. They own property in Hawaii. They move from Hawaii, but Kent stays. At this time, he's 17 years old. He stays in Hawaii because he's like, I'm done dealing with you. So he stays in Hawaii. They moved back to Las Vegas because she was living in Palm Springs when they met. Mm-hmm. Then she landed him. They moved to Hawaii right after she had Kenny. Mm-hmm. They were there for about 5 years. They moved back here. I mean, they moved to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
In 1985 is when she gets arrested and goes to prison.
For the human trafficking, pretty much.
For, yeah, and the involuntary servitude.
Bullshit.
One of Kenny's tutors said that Kenny was a liar. Like, he had a problem with lying. So she read him the fable of the boy who cried wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kenny goes to his parents. He's like, Mommy, Daddy, listen to this story that, Miss Lady taught me. Santi gets pissed and grabs her and, drags her downstairs and throws her on bed. And she's like, you don't teach my child about morals.
Ooh.
There is a time and a place to lie. And it's my job. I will teach him about when it's, when to lie and when not to lie. You don't talk to my son about morals.
Ooh.
So she's already, grooming him to be a fucking liar.
Yeah. You don't teach my son about lies, I will.
So when she goes to prison, he's no longer being tutored. He actually goes to a school. He was born in 75, so he's 10 now. Actually, I think it was 86 when she went to prison. It was 85 when they got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's in middle school, fifth grade, middle school-ish.
Fifth, sixth grade, he's the same age as my child.
Yeah, and so he starts going to a regular, actually he goes to a private school. And the kids there, they like him. He's an outgoing kid. He's a likable. He manages to become one of the popular kids. And, he's thriving outside of this weird tutoring situation because his mother doesn't want him to, be around other people, apparently. She just wants him to be with her all the time. Santi doesn't do all 5 years of her sentence. She gets out after 3 years.
It's usually that.
Returns home and upends their fucking world. She fucking disenrolls him from the school he's at, makes him cut ties with all of his fucking friends, and makes him go somewhere else to another school. Basically, you're not allowed to be friends with these people anymore. And they're all like, yeah, she fucking ruined his life. So he manages to still, be accepted to UCSB, UC Santa Barbara,
mm-hmm.
which is a fucking, a good school.
The UC school, yeah.
He goes to UC Santa Barbara for a year, but he lives in the dorms. He gets in a fight, gets kicked out of the dorms, but he's, still, he has friends that he lives with, and they're like, your mom, they can see the
his relationship with his mom.
Yeah, that it's basically toxic.
Yeah.
It's unhealthy, the way that their relationship is.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can't, he's saying, I have to do what my mom tells me to do. And they're like, you need to get out from under your mom's fucking,
And apparently they're rich, influence. Too, so it's just like,
Yeah, but she basically, she has this, authority over him. And it's all he knows. When she was in prison, he was learning to break away from that, but then she comes out and it's still...
Fuck shit up.
Right. So he goes home for Christmas break, I think, or spring break, finds out that his dad is dead.
Aww.
The autopsy report is that he had an aortic aneurysm. But Santi is like, okay, she's telling the coroner, can you not release his death, can you not release his death certificate yet? Can you not release the autopsy? Can you keep this a secret? She fucking didn't tell anybody that he was dead for 4 years.
Oh, what? What?
Yeah.
4 years.
People would be asking about him and she'd be like, oh, he's in the shower or he's here or he's there. He had to go to Japan.
She was making decisions on his behalf.
She was trying to hide the fact that he was dead because a death certificate means that I don't have access to this stuff anymore because he did not leave anything to her or Kenny. His will only included his two older children from his first marriage. He never changed his will.
Good.
Again, we still don't know if they're married.
True, exactly.
There's people that are they were married. There's people that are they were not married. So we don't even know if they're married, but he didn't will anything to Kenny and Santi. So they had nothing. She was like, we obviously need to do something to basically have some fucking money. We need an income. Kenny apparently was telling his friends, some of his college friends that he was fucking, him and his mom were selling Cuban cigars, they would go to Cuba, and they were, making these deals, and, his friends were like, what, that doesn't make any sense, there was a bunch of shady shit that started happening, in succession, so that's one of them. She tried to keep his death a secret for, 4 years, so they went to the Bahamas, where they had some property. Kenneth had some offshore accounts in the Bahamas.
Okay.
She took control of those accounts. Apparently, there was a a bank officer in the Bahamas. This Arab gentleman by the name of, his name was Syed Bilal Ahmed.
Syed Bilal Ahmed.
In 1996, they go to the Bahamas, her and Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to get, you know, the money from these accounts. And he's, like, suspicious. He goes to her house. And that's the last anybody sees of him.
The banker?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ahmed?
Mm-hmm. He goes, because they have property in Bahamas. So that's where they were. He goes to their house.
Never comes back.
And he's never heard of it from again.
Bitch.
The Bahamian authorities don't realize that, you know, this until a couple of weeks later. And by this time, they've already left.
Oh, my God. Wait. Oh, my God. So Jamal says it. His friend says, oh, my God.
So, Mr. Bilal is missing. That's 1996. In 1998, they have an old family acquaintance by the name of David Kasdan. And I guess David had allowed the Kimeses to use his name on the deed of their home in Las Vegas.
Mm.
Now, his name is on the deed. Shante, as she's known by him.
Shante.
And her husband, they lived in that house, but his name was on the deed for some fucking reason, right? Well, she fucking takes out a goddamn mortgage against the house. The loan was for like $280,000. He gets the bill, and he's like, I didn't fucking apply for a loan against this house.
Yeah.
You know, and he gets the bill. He calls Shante. He's like, what the fuck, bitch? Why are you taking out loans in my name?
What the fuck, bitch?
Why are you taking out loans in my name? Well, he's like, I'm going to go to the authorities. I will expose you, whatever. I don't know how well the conversation went. But his body fucking turns up in a dumpster by the L.A., by it says the Los Angeles airport. I'm guessing it's LAX.
LAX?
I'm guessing it's LAX.
She dumped his body at LAX? Her son's doing it. Somebody's doing it.
Somebody did it.
Big boy did it.
Somebody did it.
Big boy did it.
So they had this body. Then they have a missing person. Meanwhile, Shante and fucking Kenny are traveling across the country back and forth. They go to Florida. And I guess she had a mobile home. So she goes, they go to Florida. She has a mobile home there. She calls a fucking...
Leave that mobile home. Like a mobile home in Florida.
I guess it's an RV. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But she... I guess it's an RV. She contacts the RV dealership. She's like, I'd like to trade this one in. I want a new one.
Okay.
You come pick this one up, drop off the new one. I will pay you the difference. They're like, okay, they do this. She writes a check. A couple of days later, the fucking rubber is apparent on this fucking check.
The check bounces from
yes.
all over the place.
She fucking cons somebody out of a goddamn RV. They're back in fucking LA for some reason. They have a car dealership that her husband used to get cars from. They apparently liked to drive Lincolns. So they get the owner of the Lincoln dealership. She wants to fucking buy a Lincoln. She wants to trade in her Lincoln. She wants a new one. She does the same fucking shit. But this time she's in LA. So she's telling him, can you please deliver me this, you know, deliver me the Lincoln. I will give you a check. And we'll call it good. He's like, okay. Because, again, he's been dealing with these people for years.
Right.
He doesn't know that freaking Kenneth
is dead.
Yeah. He's like, how's Kenneth? She's like, oh, he's doing great. You know, he's like, oh, can I talk to him? She's like, oh, he's taking a nap right now.
In the earth. Kenneth.
Yeah, so the car is delivered to him. I guess the driver is like, hey, you know, is Kenneth around? He's like, oh, he had to go to Japan. I mean, she's like, oh, he had to go to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And the dealer guy's like, what?
What?
How does that make sense, right?
The fuck are you talking about? It's a Rona. You can't go anywhere.
But so she fucking manages to, I guess, dupe him into thinking that Kenneth went to Japan. He gets back to Cedar City trying to verify that this fucking check is good. The bank's like, nope, that check is garbage. he calls her. She's like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I gave you the wrong check. I will send you the correct fucking check. Nothing ever arrives. By this time, he's like, okay, cool. He calls his friend, who is a fucking private investigator. I'm not a private investigator. Who is an investigator with the freaking police department in Utah. They're like, okay, well, this is what we'll do. We'll get you, you know, we'll set up a situation where you can repossess your vehicle. You just have her meet you wherever, and you can take your car.
Right.
Well, apparently, she was on to him, because first they're supposed to meet at some fucking, in the lobby of a hotel. Then they're supposed to meet somewhere else. She, like, while they're supposed to meet there, she calls, and she's like, no, meet us over here at this fucking restaurant. So the investigator guy's like, yeah, they were running counter surveillance on it, and that pissed me off. He was mad because she, again, was like two steps ahead of them. Then this fucking guy comes out of the woodwork because the Vegas house burnt the fuck down.
Oh my God. This bitch is burning down houses. She's bouncing checks.
Yes.
She's jacking cars. Like, yes. Who the fuck? But why? But like, is it just the lifestyle? Like, I don't get, like,
this, it's all for money. It's all for money.
But what is she spending this money on? Just to be lavish? Like, it doesn't seem like she doesn't have any friends. Nobody does. I guess she does have friends, because they're like, she's the best.
Yes, she has friends, and they're like, she's so generous and this and that. But it is. It's the lifestyle. She wants to have money. That's, like, her ultimate goal in life is to have money, and she'll do it by any means fucking necessary. So she burns the house, the Vegas house fucking burns down. Was it the Vegas house? It was another house in another fucking state. Burns the fuck down. The fire department is like, this is a fucking arson.
Yeah.
She never contacts the fire department about the house burning down. Meanwhile, she's calling the fucking insurance company, the homeowner's insurance company, trying to get... Oh! I forgot to tell you. With the human trafficking shit, she was trying to sue her homeowner's insurance company because she was abusing these people in her home, and she thought... that they should have to fucking pay because
of the shit she was doing.
Because she got sued. They sued her. The workers sued her. They won, I think, $16 million or something.
Wow.
She thought the insurance company should pay.
Pay?
Because it was happening in her house. So she thought she could get...
Hey, I'm getting sued by my employees because I was abusing them, and I want to file a claim.
So yes.
You guys can pay this.
She thought they were supposed to pay.
Yeah, them how?
The damages. And she was pissed because they wouldn't. And they were like, yeah, we insure your house, not the shit you do inside your house.
We are farmers. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. So, but she contacts the property insurance about this burnt down fucking house, right?
Wow.
And, again, people are on to her. The police are looking for her now. She fucking, they get a call. The insurance company gets a call from the man by the name of
What was his name?
McAllister, or Robert McAllister, or McAllen.
That sounds like Home Alone 2 to me. Kevin McAllister.
I think it was Robert McAllister, or Robert McAllen, or something like that. He calls and he's like, I want to meet at this, you know, in the lobby of this restaurant to basically, you know, to discuss this, the claim against, about this fire. And they're like, okay, because his name was on the house.
Robert McAllister?
Yeah, McAllister, McAllen. I don't remember what the last name was. This was, I was like binging these programs and like new people started popping up. I was like, oh shit, there's more?
Who's this motherfucker?
Yeah, so they're trying to figure out who the fuck this guy is because his name is on the house. It's on the insurance, it's on the house. Come to find out this guy is a homeless man that they basically fucking kidnapped and forced to work for them. He was like their fucking little manservant.
You fucking kidding me?
He reported to the police that they kidnapped him and they held him fucking hostage and made him work for them for free. It was Kenny and fucking Sandy, whatever she calls herself.
You mean, human trafficking has been going on for a very long time, guys.
Basically they lured this guy who was a homeless man in, you know, I guess promising him food, money, whatever, and he didn't pay him shit, but forced him to indenture himself to them.
What? But wouldn't you be afraid that this person would come for you?
He didn't die.
No, not him. Like, him dying, but like that, like, okay, I forced this person to take care of us. Like, he could fuck up our food.
They were leaving. They were going to move somewhere else anyway and just leave him there. So, I don't think they thought about that.
Maybe he's not cooking their food. Maybe he's just like, clean the fucking bathroom. Shut up, Mike.
Clean the bathroom.
Robert, go pick up this dog shit in the back.
I don't think they had a dog.
Vacuum, like, what is he doing? Like, how is he indentured? Like, drive us to LAX, motherfucker.
They forced him to call the freaking insurance company and say to meet us there. Yeah. So... Okay,
we're gonna put your name on this house, but you have to work for us while we're here.
She was doing what the Tiger King was doing. She was transferring her fucking property into other people's names, so her ass wouldn't get fucking caught for committing all this insurance fraud.
Oh. So this is insurance fraud.
Mm-hmm.
This is people fraud.
So somehow, some way, she fucking ends up reading about.
I have a question. Do you think Kim Jong-un is dead?
Who?
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-il?
Un.
Why would he be dead?
The Korean leader?
The little boy.
Yeah.
Why would he be dead?
Because he had like a botched heart surgery and TMZ posted yesterday that he was dead.
I didn't read that. I had no idea about that.
So yesterday TMZ reported that he was dead.
Good, hope so.
Today, Korea's like, no, he's not dead, he's alive, he's fine. And so now
they're gonna pretend he's dead. He's not dead.
So now there's all these fucking Weekend in Bernie memes on Facebook. Kim Jong Un.
Weekend with Bernie. Weekend at Bernie.
Because I was like, this is cruel. Because like I didn't see that they were reporting that he was alive still.
Mm-hmm.
So I was under the impression that he had passed. So then when I go on Facebook, I was like, why am I seeing this? This is so rude. I go and look it up, and so South Korea is like, no, 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 he's fine. He's relaxing. No one's seen him since my birthday.
Okay, it's not funny that he would be dead, but I would not put it past the South Korean government to say he's alive when he's dead.
Right.
Because they don't want to seem
weak,
vulnerable, exactly.
Right.
So if our leader's dead, we no longer have a leader, and he never had any fucking kids, so...
I think it's his sister, somebody...
They don't want a female leader.
Brandy, girl,
it's a patriarchal society where women can't fucking own shit, they can't have shit, you can't rule shit. Mm. So, we need to come up with a new imposter.
Yeah, that's
right. Or, we're gonna have to appoint someone else, and heaven forbid, the person that we appoint make us a fucking democracy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're gonna, if he is dead... I would not put it past them at all to install an imposter or, you know, because there could be a coup. So, you know, you don't know.
Yeah. So, no, I saw the post and Jamal was like, Jamal broke the news to me yesterday. And he was like, oh.
Because I'm like, why would he be dead?
Kim Jong-un is dead. I was like, who reported this to you? Look it up. And he was like, oh, it came from TMZ. And I was like, I guess it's real. And so they said there was like a botched heart surgery or something like that.
That wasn't botched. They did that shit on purpose.
That's what I said. I said they killed him.
They don't want him.
They killed him.
Their people are starving. They can't leave their fucking country. Like,
yep.
I would fucking kill him too.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, they killed him. And he was like, I don't know. And I was just like, it makes the most sense for them to do that. But then when I went on social this morning and I saw the Weekend at Bernie's, I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then I looked it up and then they're reporting that he is, in fact, not dead.
He's probably not. I mean, he's probably dead. But yeah, the Korean press is run by the Korean government, or the South Korean press is run by the South Korean government.
Yeah.
So they put out what they want to put out. Everything they put out is propaganda. So.
Yeah.
He did. Okay, so anyway.
Sorry about that. I'm glad I broke the news to you, so maybe you can...
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Because, again, I was working.
I was making jewelry, bitch.
All this shit is going on. People are looking for her. They're looking for Sante. They're not looking for Kenny. They're looking for Sante. Because Sante is the
Shantae.
One. Sante, Sandy, Shantae.
I'm telling you, this is where RuPaul got his material.
You're so funny. Well, this RuPaul came out before her.
But she's been around for a long time.
I know, but we didn't learn about her. We didn't know her name until 1998.
And I'm saying this is where he got his material from.
That song came out in, like, 1990.
What I'm saying is she was up to some shit. In Palm Springs. And what happens in Palm Springs, there's a lot of, you know, the gays are out there.
He's from New York.
They've got the flag.
He's from the South.
She was a Liz Taylor lookalike. Oh, I'm Sante. Wait, what? Shantae? No, Sante. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to change my name to Shantae. I'm just saying, maybe they had an interaction. Rue, what happened, though? Like, where'd you get that from?
Oh, girl, they crashed a party. Like, they were party crashers, her and Kenneth, before she got married, or before she had Kenny. Mm-hmm. They were party crashers, and, like, so they would just, like, get dressed up and, like, find a party. They fucking crashed a party for Gerald Ford.
See?
Like, what the fuck? Like, she managed to convince that...
she probably sashayed in there. Sashay Shantae.
She convinced the Secret Service that her husband was an ambassador, and so they let them in the party, and then they realized it was a fraud, and they kicked them out. But first, they did get a picture with Gerald fucking Ford.
Love it. They could have killed them.
It's kind of like those fucking Real Housewives of
that's what I was thinking.
DC,
fucking, DC, right?
Those creeps. Those fucking people weird. What were their names? The white chicken, the Persian man. Or something.
I didn't watch that season, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
He was either Arab. He was something. I think it was Arab. What was her name? Sheikh? Shah? Something. I don't know. Anyway. So, all their shit's about to come crashing down, though. They, the next month, after they found fucking Kenny, after they found David Kasdan's body in the dumpster at the LA fucking LAX, they moved to New York. Sante had read about an elderly woman who was a former ballerina who had this beautiful... It was a brownstone in Manhattan.
Ooh.
Okay. That she had turned into apartments and was renting out, you know, the apartments. So Kenny rented one under the name Manny Guerin. So Manny Guerin, a.k.a. Kenny...
A.k.a. Kenny.
Kenny. Kenny Kimes. Rents an apartment, okay, but he's fucking, like, shady, like, the woman who's renting the apartments, her name is Irene Silverman. She is, like, telling her, like, one of her friends, you know, this guy is super fucking shady, I don't trust him, he's really fucking secretive, he's, like, he's kind of a problem now, I need to get rid of him.
And he's a tenant.
He's a tenant.
Okay.
But, you know how some shady ass shit going on. This is 1998.
Okay. Your senior year. Shout out to the class of 98.
Yeah, this was in March. No, this was in May. April. This was a month after they found his body. Because they found his body 3 days after it ended up in the dumpster.
Whose body?
David Kasdan. The body that ended up in the dumpster?
Yes.
At LAX?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Look at, because I was like... I was just talking about him.
I'm so... Like, a long time ago.
Well, okay, so they found his body, a month after they find his body, they go to New York, mm-hmm. They rent this apartment.
The brownstone.
Right.
Yes.
Under the name Manny Guerin.
Right.
Now, Irene Silverman goes missing.
The landlady?
Yes, the owner of the brownstone. She goes missing. They're still looking for this fucking Lincoln that she stole from Cedar City, Utah. Right?
So, like, she's on, like, five different crimes, and there's...
Irene goes missing. The guy in Cedar City, the car dealership owner over there, still wants his fucking Lincoln back.
Right.
They're still trying to get this Lincoln back. They're in New York.
Right.
The police roll up. They pull them over, stop them. I don't know what. Kenny pisses his pants. Literally pisses his pants.
Bitch, baby.
He pisses his fucking pants. They search the car. They find documents with the name Irene fucking Silverman on them. They find an ID. All these documents claim that fucking Shantae is Irene Silverman.
Oh my God, she's taking over this woman's identity?
They never find Irene Silverman's body. The plan was to go... get rid of Irene Silverman. And still, the brownstone is worth $10 million. Uh-huh. Basically, go transfer the deed of the fucking brownstone into Sante's name. So she's going to pretend to be Irene Silverman, transfer the documents into her name, Shantae fucking Kime.
Get the money.
And eventually sell the property. They hire a fucking notary. One of her friends was a notary back when she was living, like, in fucking Hawaii and in Vegas. She had a notary, like, in her pocket. That was one of her friends.
Right.
So she didn't have to pay a whole bunch of money to get this fucking shady shit done. And now she's in New York.
Too, yeah.
Now she's in New York. She's got to pay a notary to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They hire a notary. Kenny calls the notary and he's like, we'll pay you a lot of money to get this done, like, ASAP. ASAP Rocky, basically.
ASAP Rocky.
Meet us at this place. He meets Kenny. Kenny's like, okay, well, now we're going to go and meet with Irene. Or meet with the lady. Whatever. Fucking Shantae has on some padded shit. She has on a wig. She's trying to make herself. Because Irene is 84 years old. Shantae is 64.
20 years. NBD.
Yeah, an 84-year-old and a 64-year-old don't look the same. How old is mom?
64.
How old is grandma?
88.
They don't look like they're, you know? So, and Shantae is like a nice-looking lady. She's like, you know, she's pretty.
She's keeping it together.
Yeah, she don't look like an 84-year-old. So she's trying to fucking, like, make herself look like an 84-year-old. They're, like, trying to rush the process of getting these documents done. And the notary is... is this guy. His last name is Aoki. I don't remember what his first name is.
Steve Aoki.
But he's just like, he was like, I don't know. They were like, it was like, the whole thing, like, he felt like he was under pressure. A lot of pressure.
Yeah. Like, calm the fuck down. Yeah. Like, this is too much.
So, they get these documents fucking signed and notarized, and he was like, a thing that struck me as odd was that the documents, like, because you're supposed to sign documents in front of the notary. You're not supposed to have them already signed.
And then bring them
they
in.
Were already signed, and the other party was not a present to have, you know what I mean? So, everything was really fucking weird.
Shady.
Like, she's pretending to be, I guess they were signing it into Kenny's name, because he was there. So, I guess... You know, she was going to be Irene. Kenny was going to be the other signatory. They were going to sign. And then, you know, but yeah, to eventually get these apartments and to sell the property. That's how they were going to get the money. But it all came crashing down because the bitch tried to fucking steal a car.
My head hurts. Like...
That's how they otherwise, because again, this man is, Kenny is renting under the name Manny Guerin. They don't even know him. They don't even know Kenny Kime.
Oh.
They don't know him as Kenny Kimes. He's Manny Guerin, and Manny Guerin has no reason to be, you know.
Oh, okay.
So, they find all these documents in the fucking car.
That says that...
That points them directly fucking guilty. Guilty. Woohoo, guilty. So, they steal a car. They murder a lady, but the murder is not even what they fucking got caught with for.
Right.
It was stealing a fucking car. It was writing a bad check.
The car from Utah.
Right. So, a couple of days later, they're, you know, pointing the finger at Manny Guerin as a potential suspect, a person of interest in the disappearance of Irene.
Right.
The police, they run the picture on the news, the arresting officers are like, that's not Manny Guerin, that's Kenny Kimes.
Yeah.
Oh shit, it's them. Like, it just all fucking just...
Light bulbs went off everywhere.
Yes. And that's how they fucking got caught. They got sentenced. Both of them got more than 100 years in prison.
Good.
The fucking show of the show. The trial was a fucking circus. Goddamn, Sandy, whatever she wanted to call herself at the time, kept talking to the press. The judge was like, stop fucking talking to the press.
Stop talking to the press, please.
She fucking went on 60 Minutes. She fucking went on Larry King after she was convicted. The whole thing was just a mess. Her attorneys put up a fucking website for her that's still up. She died in 2004 in prison.
Whew.
And her website is still up. It's still being run by her, her attorneys. But it doesn't really have anything on it.
What does the website want?
It's
just giving
it was a support for her website, but now it's just like it's a picture of her and that's it. Like, and it says like some nice shit about her.
I got a bunch of websites still up, and I say that because I used to work for a company and we sold websites. And I got a bunch of free ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a bunch of them up still. I don't check on them. Like, check out noshirts.net. Tell me if it's still up.
noshirts.net.
Let's look at that real quick. I forgot about that.
Guys, it was the best website ever.
It was just a bunch of people with no fucking shirts on. A bunch of dudes with no shirts.
Nice objectification of men out in the universe. I was making balance.
Trying to balance the world.
That's insane, Brandy. Like, I was so, like, I was like, this is stressful. This bitch was crazy as fuck.
She was doing the most dirt ever.
Just to live lavishly.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
But, like, but she was always on to the next hustle, I felt like. She was always, like...
It wasn't even a hustle. It was just, like, a straight-up fucking grift. Like, I'm gonna go and try to steal my husband's money from the Bahamas. Oh, the fucking banker found out that I'm lying, and I'm gonna kill him. That's... So, her... Kenny admitted to killing...
Belial, the guy.
Yeah. He admitted to killing him. He admitted to killing David. And they pleaded guilty to killing Irene. So, yeah. They were never tried for killing... his name Ahmed Belial?
No, his middle name was Belial. Last name Ahmed. The first name was something.
Syed. Sorry. Syed Belial Ahmed.
Syed.
Yeah. In the Bahamas. So, yeah. They fucking killed three people. All to fucking try to be fucking... socialites. Pretty much.
Joneses. Oh my god.
Because all she cared about was money. And her kids. And Kenny. Because Kent was like, I'm out.
Kent's like, fuck this bitch. She's crazy. But she wasn't a bag of cats.
She wasn't, you know, isolating him from the world like she was trying to isolate Kenny.
She was trying to manipulate Kenny because Kenny's an heir of that money.
Nope. Not in.
Well, he was.
She thought he was.
Oh yeah, because he wasn't in the will, right? She was like, son of a bitch, I gotta use this kid in some shape, way, or form.
She basically taught him to do her own, like, the same shit. But the thing, even Kenneth, though, Kenneth was, like, paranoid.
He pissed himself, right?
No, Kenny pissed himself. Kenneth was her husband.
Kenny and Kenneth, which is the same fucking name, but okay.
Her husband is Kenneth.
Junior is Kenny.
And, well, he didn't go by Junior, he went by Kenny.
But he's Junior.
I guess.
They got the same name, right? Thank you.
Okay, but Kenneth was teaching Kenny not to trust people. Because he was paranoid because of all the dirt that fucking Irene.
Sante.
Because of what Sante was doing. They had to keep running. They were like on the run because of all these accusations of fucking abuse from the maid.
And they had lawyers on like deck. So they're probably getting sued a lot.
Exactly. The fucking state of Hawaii, a prosecutor in Hawaii is the one that won the freaking $16 million lawsuit for the maids. So, he had grown paranoid and, like, again, he didn't even want to marry her because he knew she would take his money. Mm-hmm. He didn't trust anybody when it came to his money, and so he taught his son not to trust anyone. And so, Kenny also didn't really trust anyone, and that's the life they fucking led. He's in prison. He ain't never getting fucking out. And she's dead.
How did she die?
It doesn't say. It just says she died in prison. Let's see. Nope, doesn't say. She was serving a life sentence plus 125 years at the Bedford Hills Correctional Facility for Women in New York, where she died on May 19th, 2014. I think I said 2004, but she died in 2014.
You did say 2004, yeah, so it was 2014?
Yeah, 2014.
Okay.
And they're also sentenced to life in California, where they were convicted of murdering David Kasdan. Kenny is in California. He actually requested to be in another state, so he requested to be president here while she was over there in New York. There's a bunch of movies. Yes. There's one called Like Mother, Like Son, The Strange Story of Sante and Kenny Kimes, which starred Mary Tyler Moore.
Wow.
And Gabriel Olds. And Gene Stapleton. And Gene Stapleton was playing at 80... Okay, whatever. This was in 2001. And then in 2006, another television-based television movie based on a book about the case, A Little Thing Called Murder, starring Judy Davis and Jonathan Jackson, which came on one Lifetime. And I actually watched the preview of it on YouTube, and it's hilarious. Like, they have it, it's so over the top the way they make her look and seem, and they make Jonathan Jackson look and seem. And then there was supposed to be a movie that was going to star Kathy Bates about this, and she was going to play Sontae Kimes, but I guess that never happened.
Wow.
She was featured on an episode of Dateline in 2009, and she did an interview on Larry King after she was convicted in New York. And Diabolical Women, that fucking, I think it's an Investigation Discovery Channel show, there was an episode on her, based on her. So, yeah, that's what happened. Two bodies were never found, because they never found his body, Syed Bilal Ahmed's body, and they never found Irene Zimmerman's body.
What the fuck did they do to them?
No, I don't. Well, if they had some tigers, they could have fed them to... they could have fed them to the tigers, fucking Carol.
Jeez Louise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and... they fucking were suspects in a 1995 abduction of a 62-year-old furniture heiress, Jackie Levitz. You know, you'll love it at Levitz. Levitz Furniture?
Yeah.
Heiress Jackie Levitz of Levitz Furniture was abducted from her home in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And they were suspects until in July 1998, the FBI was like, there is nothing that would indicate that they had anything to do with Miss Levitz. So they, were dropped from being suspects in that case.
Damn the bullshit.
But.
The straight bullshit.
Yeah. So that is our friends Sontae and Kenny Kimes. It's fucked up. Mothers, stop trying to have so much fucking influence over your boys. Because that's what kind of shit happens. Bad.
While we've been talking about this crazy bitch, I'm listening to the fan going on downstairs, and I could hear it very loud and clear. I'm going to get some audio foam for this room so I can put it up on the walls.
And probably on the floor.
I want to rip the carpet up and like maybe put some different flooring in here so this will be like fucking sick. And see how it goes. So, hey, patrons. Thank y'all so much for your support. You guys are helping us step up this fucking room. Sontae died. Her son is still in jail in California. Do you know what prison he's in?
He's at Richard J. Donovan Correctional Facility.
Where the fuck is that?
San Diego County.
Okay.
It's in unincorporated southern San Diego County. Medium to maximum security.
That's just like... some people just shouldn't have children. Some people shouldn't talk to people and try and, like, mentor them because they turn them into bad people. You know what I mean?
The problem was that he did whatever she told him to do. Mm-hmm. Like, had she said, go study, be a good boy in college, he would have done that. But that's not what she told him to do. She told him to do her bidding. He was in college. He had to move back home after his dad died. That's what fucking sucks. Like, just stupid. Stupid!
He's stupid.
No reason for that at all. Now you fucked your life up. You fucked up your son's life. Like, you know, it's just stupid. Why are you doing... but, you know, a lot of... again, her son, her oldest son, he was like, she was a good mom. She was a good mom to him. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, her influence on Kenny
just ruined it.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. Let's talk about some more fucked up shit. So, Brandy, today we have a lying piece of human trash.
Do we even know this person's name?
No. So this is from a Reddit post, and my girlfriend sent it to the group text last night, and I didn't get a chance to read it till today.
And it's just, it's ridiculous. So
who sent it?
Rupa sent it.
Did you send it to me?
No, I didn't. But I'm going to reach you all the title of it, and then maybe I'll just include a link and you guys could read it. But pretty much, this is the way it's titled, and the title brought me in by itself.
My husband catfished me.
Yeah, pretty much. So what was that? It says, holy shit. I, a 32-year-old female, found out last night that my husband, a 37-year-old male, stalked and manipulated me into a relationship. So, it's super fucked up. I read the whole thing. And, so this is where it gets good. I'll just read this part for you. So, the real story, according to my husband, is that he found me on a dating site about half a year before we ever met. He claims he initially sent me a message, but I just ignored him. He looked kind of hurt when talking about this, but I told him that women get 100 messages a week on these sites, and there's just no way I could have read them all, much less respond. He claims that she read the message and no response. He was like, we ranked so highly, I knew we were supposed to be together. So apparently after this, he started creating a bunch of fake profiles. He stole pictures of very attractive men from social media. Using these profiles, he started basically catfishing me. Over the course of a couple of months, he was able to initiate conversations with me on numerous occasions with different profiles. And eventually, at some point, I guess I mentioned where I worked. He said he then spent hours searching through Facebook and LinkedIn before he found my picture. At that point, he had my name and started hardcore stalking me online. He created numerous social media profiles.
Wait, he had her name. Her name wasn't on the dating site?
No, you know how you have like a random name, like a profile name?
No.
Well, yes.
Because when I used to be on the dating sites, it was just my name. It was my first name. It wasn't my last name, but it was my first name.
Well, yeah, but some people, like when I was doing it, my name was not on there whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
I'm rare. No, I'm just kidding. You can find a black sunny anywhere, like with an eye, like, come on, you can find me. Anyway, so he created numerous profiles, some of which I accepted as friends and followers, so he was then able to stalk my life. After a couple of months, he started stalking me in real life. He started going to hang out at the bar we always went to after work. He befriended her coworker. Her coworker worked in IT, just like her quote unquote husband Dave. That's the fake name that she gave him.
Dave.
Mm-hmm. So this went on for like a month. He then started trying to hit on her. And who fucking cares? He's a stalker. I'm gonna leave the link and you guys can read it. Like, this is insane. He stalked her, he manipulated her, he created accounts, he paid people to go on dates with her and to like crush her dreams. This guy is a lying piece of human fucking trash. And she found this out while they're on COVID quarantine because her husband got drunk and started talking a bunch of shit because he coached his little brother into doing the same shit to his now fiance.
That's awful.
If I were her, I would tell the fiance.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you know what? If you're, she says she's happy in her life right now, but it's a violation.
It is a violation.
Like, you know, what had happened. So I'd be like, motherfucker, I know what happened. I love your ass right now, but trust and believe, nigga, if you manipulate my ass again, it's over. I will cut your dick off because I don't trust you. So back the fuck up.
It's a violation of trust. And it shows what a piece of shit he actually is.
Like, yeah.
I don't give a shit how well you support me, support us, pay our bills, whatever it is that you think you're doing. At your core, you're a fucking rotten apple.
Yeah.
No fucking self-respecting human would do this to another person.
It's fucked up.
And then what happens if they don't, like, what happens if they discover, you know, later on in their marriage that they shouldn't be married? Then what? Is he going to stalk her again to try to get her to not divorce him? Like, what the fuck?
This is some Jennifer Lopez enough shit. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when her husband, like, made them get married, like, he stalked her, he kicked people out of the house, and she had to run away with her daughter, and she cut her hair off, and then she fought him. Enough. You remember that movie?
Yes, I do. I think that's hilarious.
I think it's insane.
I don't think it's like that, because she hasn't said that he, like, hit her.
No, she says that everything is good in the relationship, but to find out that it happened this way, I'm sure long ago men went to, like, stalker shit. Like, I've been a stalker before. No lie, I'm putting it out there. I've been, like, college. It's like, oh, I know where you are. You told me you were doing something else. I see you here. Your car happened to drive up.
So that's different.
I'm going to leave a note on your car, different. And I'm going to wait for you to see it.
No, that's different. That's not the same thing as what we did. I wasn't
following anybody.
But no, you're talking about somebody that you're already in a relationship with
right.
that is doing some fucking dirt.
Right.
He fucking did dirt to get into a relationship with her. That's the difference. It's not the same thing.
He manipulated her. He stalked her. He, like, tricked her. He made her doubt her hotness, which I do not. I do not respect. Yeah. Do not make a woman doubt her hotness, ever.
You're making me doubt my hotness.
I had to tell this dude he was making me doubt my hotness, and I was just like, and it was probably a manipulation thing.
It is. A lot of guys will do that. They give backhanded compliments to women who might be a little insecure about their looks, even though they're gorgeous, but they might have some insecurity about, oh, I think my nose is too big.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I think my chest is too small. And usually they're like, oh, I usually like women with big boobs, but you're pretty.
You'll do.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah, you motherfucker! Yeah.
Dude,
like,
oh my
God. That's the kind of shit that they do. And they learn this. There's an asshole who
taught them this.
Who used to be on the airwaves. I think he has a podcast now. And, like, his content you have to fucking pay for.
Who?
His name is Tom Likas.
Oh. The nappy-headed hoes dude. Is that him? Was it Tom Likas who called people nappy?
No. Girls nappy-headed hoes? No. That was Bill O'Reilly. Not Bill O'Reilly. What's his name? He's dead.
I think it was Likas.
No, Tom Likas is the guy who's like, how you get a woman is you make her think that she's going to get all your money, and then you don't give her shit. You give her backhanded compliments and make her feel insecure so you can do whatever the fuck you want. That's Tom Likas.
Oh, Imus.
Yeah, Don Imus. Don Imus is it. He died.
Well, he was the one who just described the Rutgers University basketball team as nappy-headed hoes.
Yeah, no, not him.
Eat a dick. Well, he's dead, so.
Yeah, he
maybe
died.
He's eating dicks.
He died, like, literally recently in December.
Oh, I'm sorry to people who are mourning his loss.
No, Tom Likas is a fat bastard who is physically unattractive, and he sounds like a smoker.
Okay.
And he's gross, and he thinks he's, like, the king of vagina. And he's gross.
Oh, I see him. Tom Likas.
Yeah.
And it's... What does it come up as likes on Tom Likas on Google?
It's
L-E-Y-K-I-S.
Yeah. He's gross. I used to listen to him.
I feel like you brought his name up a couple of times.
Yeah, I used to listen to him back in 2007 when I was working in Northridge, and I could only get a couple of stations inside of the building, and he was on Talk Radio's 98.7. And it was because it was Adam Carolla in the morning, and then Heidi, Rossi, Heidi, and Frank in the afternoons, and then Tom Likas would come on in the, like, for the drive home. And, like, he used to just say, like, the most disgusting things about women, and there were all these dudes kissing his ass, calling the station, kissing his ass, talking about how they fucked over all these women, and it was just disgusting. And I was like, the only thing that I agreed with at the time was that people shouldn't get married, you know, especially, like, young people shouldn't get married. But that was about it. Everything else was just, like, I was listening. It was like I was eavesdropping on a disgusting bar conversation.
Yeah.
Among a bunch of dudes.
Woo. I'm glad that's over.
Well, he's the reason that they're no longer on the air. They had the option to either take a pay cut or the station would be sold. And he didn't want to take a pay cut, so everybody lost their fucking job on that station.
Fucking asshole.
Yeah, pretty much.
Freaking asshole. Alright. Well, we haven't given y'all a lying piece of human trash in a while, so there you go. I'll include the link in the show notes, so check it out. Maybe I'll even put it on the website, because this is interesting. Brandy.
What? What's your thumb job for the week?
I had one that I was thinking about before this week. What was it? Vert, verzert. Oh, Quibi. So, Quibi. I'm sure, maybe you have, maybe you have not seen the commercials for Quibi. It's a an app that you download, and I'm giving them a plug, even though we don't fucking sponsor. We're not sponsored by Quibi, I don't believe.
Quibi, give us money.
But The Read is sponsored by Quibi.
Quibi, sponsor us.
Okay, so Quibi is where you can watch shows for, they're all a little, like, less than 10 minutes. There's one with Anna Kendrick called Dummy. There's one with Nicole Richie called Nikki Fresh. There is a show with Christoph Waltz and Liam, what's his face? Thor's brother.
Liam Hemsworth.
Liam Hemsworth, called, I think it's called The Game or something like that. It's kind of a suspense show. Oh, Idris Elba has his own show on there about him driving cars with a race car driver guy or a stunt driver guy. Mm-hmm. They're all like 10 minutes or less snippets of, not snippets, but they're actual episodes, and they're pretty good. And I'm, and right now Quibi's giving away a 90 day free trial, so you get to watch the
shit. I think I'll get that, but you can only watch it on your phone, right?
I have not checked my streaming device, my Roku, or actually I haven't checked my Amazon Fire Stick either, if I could watch it on there. But you can watch it on your phone, your iPad, any fucking tablet that you have. You can probably download the app. I have downloaded it to my Android and to my iPad. So it's pretty fucking interesting, and it's hilarious. I've been binging the Dummy, the Anna Kendrick show, but they only give you like 2 episodes a day. So, it's funny. Like, there's some shit that on there that you're just like, what? Titus Burris.
I like Titus.
He has his own show. His is a reality cooking show. What's her name? Nikki
Gleisinger? Nikki who?
Kiki Palmer. They brought back Singled Out. It's on there. She's the host. So there's a lot of interesting shit. And if you, you know, have 10 minutes to watch a show, if you're sitting in the parking lot waiting for some asshole to come out of the store, whatever, give it a whirl. It's hilarious.
All right, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
It's entertaining. What's your thumbs up?
What's my thumbs up for the week? I wanted to go see the Poppies.
I do too!
Poppies.
Your thumbs up is that you want to see the Poppies?
I want to go see the Poppies, so we're going to drive out like to like 90th and 90th West and go see some Poppies. But, I don't know, Brinley slept in her bed last night, all night long. Like, I popped in on her at, like, 7 in the morning, and she was in the same place I left her last night. And I was like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Jesus, I needed this. So I'm just trying to really reinforce her sleeping in her bed, her taking her naps in her room, because she gotta go. She gotta go.
Yeah, Grayson won't do it.
Like, no.
I have to go in there and lay it in the bed with her and rub her back.
Well, that's what I did last night. I got her to sleep in her room by herself.
But then I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and she's in my bed.
Usually that, but like I coached her through it and I was like, stay in your room. You're such a big girl. You know, tomorrow we're going to have a lot of fun. I'll give you a chocolate. Just stay in your room.
Oh, wait. A melatonin chocolate?
No. Like chocolate kisses. She did have a melatonin last night, though, on the railroad, because it helps him, like, sleep through the night. It does not put her to sleep whatsoever, but it does help her stay asleep.
Yeah.
So,
I need to get some of those.
I need to order some more, because I have, like, 2 more. And so,
I've never used them, but, like, I've tried melatonin for myself.
Kendall likes them. Pills. Kendall takes them, like, she's like, is this going to help me go to sleep? I was like, sure. She's like, okay, thanks. Nom, 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 and eats it.
Nah.
So I'm good with that. I'm just like, we're trying. I really want to build a pond in the backyard. Jamal's like, no. And I'm like, shut the hell
Why?
Up.
Why?
I want a pond.
Why is he saying no?
Because he's IGI says he wants to say no. And then when he does it for me, he wants to act like it's a surprise.
Is that what happened? Can he help us with our backyard? I want a pool.
Yeah, I'm not a pool. But I watch a YouTube video of these people dig a pond, and I feel like we could do it. with a little professional help.
Lining cement.
And lining holes, rocks, flutters, and I want to do like a waterfall because I want to hear like the noise, the ambient noise and stuff. But I really think we could make it happen.
That will attract mosquitoes.
It will, but I think it'll create like a little microclimate, and I would have like tropical plants around there.
You would put them there?
Yeah.
I was like, they're not just going to grow.
They're not going to, I can plant them, and then the temperatures would like, will allow them to survive because, you know, the humidity and stuff like that. So I really want that to happen for us, guys. So pray for us. So, hey, if you guys have listened to this podcast so far, thank you so much for listening, and thanks for sticking with us, and thank you so much for your support. So, if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review or subscribe and come back. We really do appreciate you. And thank you so much for listening. You can always visit us online at www.bookofliespodcast.com. We have a blog, and Brandy's putting up some good shit. So check it out. And I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this was Book of Lies. Bulb. The podcast. Bulb.